This morning, the scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. And if you have a Bible, please turn to that verse with me. And after you turn to it, please stand. And it's one verse, so I'd like for us to read it together. John 8, 12. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Let's read it together. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Please be seated. May God bless the reading of his word. This morning, our message is going to be delivered by our elder John Huang. The title of the message is, "I am the light of the world."
Good morning. Since the title was in quotation, so the proper way of citing that title should be, "Jesus said, I am the light of the world." The speaker is not. This particular utterance was given at a tabernacle festival where Jews were gathered in late fall, autumn, when they celebrate harvest. And as you know, in autumn, the days get shorter, the night gets longer. So there's one of the celebrations of this particular feast festival is the light of the giant lamps outside of the temple, in the temple area. These four giant lamps, each one of them contain four golden bowls in which the wick itself is made with the garments of the priests. You can imagine these are the huge bowls filled with oil, and the priests will light them when the days get dark. And so as the light spring up, people will cheer. As the light reflected off from the stone walls of the temple, and the priests even boast that light reflecting from the temple lights up the whole Jerusalem. They're very proud of that. In that setting, Jesus proclaimed, "I am the world. I am the light of the world." This is taken from John, the Gospel of John. Gospel of John is a little bit like a portrait of God, of Christ's work and his teachings. Unlike the Synoptic Gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's more that they are more like, if you like, photographs. Record things big and small and roughly according to when they occur and report it. What Jesus did and what he said and what happened and so forth. A portrait is not like that. A portrait concentrates on some essential characteristics of what the painter sees, the artist sees, as to be important in what they're trying to communicate. So if you see a painting of Picasso of a woman, it doesn't really look like a woman. But if you look very carefully, you see that he's trying to capture something it's quite important to him, and if you look long enough, it might even be pretty. I haven't learned that yet, but you get the idea here. So certain things may be out of proportion in order to bring out the essence, the very important things about the subject. This is the Gospel of John. In here, the writer tried to tell us who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. If you want to answer that question, gossip is not the best way. The best way of finding out who somebody is, like, who is this elder John? He looks pretty old. Who is he? So you ask around, but those may not be the best way of finding out about me. The easiest way to find out about me is to come to me. So who are you? That's probably the best way. I probably won't give you a card. People tend to say, oh, you want to know who I am? Here's my calling card. Calling card doesn't tell who you are. It tells what you know, what you do. Okay, that's very different. But when we want to know, say, about Jesus, and in the Gospel of John, it records Christ's own declaration of pronunciation of pronouncing who he really is. There's seven great I Ams. Actually, some people say there's eight. In these I Ams, this is the second I Am that we read. It's a tremendous pronouncement. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You may think that this light that they lit up outside the temple is bright, but that at most lit up the temple area. They boast about lit up the Jerusalem, because they can't. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And it relates to us. Whoever follows me, he said, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's pray. Father, I pray that the light of your word may come into our hearts and light up our soul. Father, I pray that you open our eyes, that we may see your glory. Speak to our hearts according to our needs and according to your grace. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. After God created the world, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. He creates the world. For a scientist like me, we say, well, this looks like the Big Bang theory. The universe started sometime about 17 and a half billion years ago or so. The universe started in the beginning. The fact that there is a beginning, that's a wonderful thing. Scientists didn't believe that for the first 2,000 years or so. Well, for the first couple hundred years leading to this century, people didn't believe that the universe has a start. But we now know there's a start. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And the very first thing he creates in this universe, God said, let there be light. Let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. This is the creation that's stated in Genesis 1:3. In fact, if you read the whole Bible until the end of the Bible, you come to Revelation chapter 22. There's only 22 chapters in Revelation. In that chapter, you will find the words that there will be no more light, for God, Lord God, will give them light. The new city, Jerusalem, God himself is that light for his people and for that city. The Bible sort of starts with the creation of the light, and in the end, we see that this light, physical light, is replaced by God, the eternal light. In somewhere in between, we read Jesus' proclamation, I am the light of the world. And he is the light of life. Light is really a very special thing. When we read, let there be light, we say, oh, that probably God's creation is what he just said. And so, you see, light is there, and light is light. But for a physicist, light is mysterious. It's wonderful. You know, it's strange, too. The speed of light, see, is the limit of all speeds. Nothing can go faster than light. Just can't. There are many good reasons, but I'm not going to tell you why. You can't go beyond the speed of light. And beside that, the speed of light is always the same, no matter how you observe it. For instance, if you're driving a car on the highway, 75 miles an hour, and there's another car driving towards you at 75 miles an hour, you sit in your car, you see, how fast is that car coming towards me? 150 miles an hour, right? Boom, that's called relative speed. Now suppose in that light they shoot you a light beam. If they stand still, you stand still, they shoot you a light beam, you measure the light, it's about 1 billion kilometers an hour. That's how fast light travels. So normally, since an hour is too long, they say 186 186,000 miles a second. That's still too long. But anyway, the round number is good. 1 billion kilometers per hour. That's how fast light goes. So you sit there with your gun, measure that light. The light comes to you. Say, oh, 1 billion miles an hour. And then the car starts traveling towards you at 500 million miles an hour. You see, you are going towards it at 500 million miles an hour. So, vroom, and he shoots a light at you. You measure that light. You think, ha, that must be 2 billion miles an hour. Because that car carries 500 million miles, and I carry 500 million, and the light itself goes a whole million miles an hour, right? And you measure it. Still, 1 million miles an hour. Didn't change. It doesn't matter whether the car moves or not. If it moves away from you and shoots the light, you see the same number. So why is that? Why is that? And eventually Einstein figured out, oh, things move fast. The time changed. Time warped. Space changed. And it's very complicated. Light is a very marvelous thing. It travels through a vacuum. It sort of happens through the interaction of magnetic wave. Growing and decaying creates a corresponding electric wave that growing and decaying and itself creates another magnetic wave, and that in turn, I mean, this is called Maxwell's equation. You have four equations. It's a wonderfully precise equation described absolutely correctly about the properties of light. Light is a wave. Maxwell's equation. I used to admire this physics students who has a t-shirt that has Maxwell's equation. Have you seen those t-shirts? With four equations on there. Maxwell equation. I said, oh, these guys are very dedicated physics students. They're very good. Later on, I decided they may be not that good. Maybe when they go to exam, they can't remember what Maxwell equation is. So I said, oh, that's what it is. The point is, it's always right. In the Maxwell equation, the C, the velocity of light, it's there. You don't have to ask what is the frame of reference you have measured the C as. It's always C. It's a big mystery. Nothing else in this world behaves that way. In the beginning, God created the universe, and the first thing he creates, let there be light. Oh, what a wonder. The thing has no mass, but has momentum. Do you know what Einstein got his Nobel Prize on? In 1921? You think it must be that relativity thing. No. It's a paper he wrote the same year he wrote about his relativity in 1905. It's the photoelectric effect. The fact that this wave, electromagnetic wave, we call light, is really a particle. Not only a particle, its energy was located in place. It's a point particle. The wavelength of light can be very long. Light is a short term for electromagnetic waves. The wavelengths range from thousands of meters, that's radio wave, AM radio, thousands of meters wavelengths, very long, to a millionth of a billionth of a meter. That's, if you are more in tune these days, you'll say, that sounds to me like a thousandth of a nanometer, you'll be right. It covers over 18 orders of magnitude. They're all light. They all behave almost exactly the same. Yet, the energy is located at that point, a single point. Sometimes it's a wave. If you measure it as if it's a wave, it's a wave. If you say, well, maybe it's a point, you design another experiment and you measure and see whether light is a particle or not. It is a particle. You say, well, is it light? Are you a particle or are you a wave? The light will answer, how are you going to measure me? If you design a measurement to measure wave properties, I'm a wave. On the other hand, if you design an experiment to measure and see whether I'm a particle, yes, I am a particle. Does our human conscious get involved in natural reality? Now, the point here is that we don't understand what light is. You don't. No clue. So let's not pretend we understand God. He, by mere speaking, let there be light. And there's marvelous things there. I can talk about light in many lectures. Let's move ahead. Now, the light is so important because we need to see things. So even though without light, we don't see. That the more you need to see things, the brighter you want the situation to be, right? Like surgeons, they want to cut somebody open. This is a very serious business, right? And so they want to see what they're doing. They say, oh, it doesn't matter, I just can't. No. They have to put surgical lights. You know how bright those lights are? 160 lux, 1,000 lux. What's that? It's just roughly twice the brightness of sun. So bright. You say, oh, if it's that bright, it'll cook the guy. He was operating on the liver becomes cooked a little. No, the scientists are pretty clever. They can make it bright but not hot and so forth. Let's not talk about that. But anyway, we know. In order to understand things, in order to investigate things, you need light. Otherwise, you said this guy's dimwit. Dim, okay? Or dark ages. Or, you know, things with that ilk. Dark, black, dim. No understanding or moral reading. But light represents the opposite. That you understand, you see, pure, and so forth. And so the Jews are very interesting. When Jesus pronounced that I'm the light of the world, verse 13, the Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. So you are the light. No, no, no. Who bear testimony for that, for you? These guys are not thinking. They don't know about physics. Why? Because it's through light you see things, right? Well, as long as you see things, there's light. You don't see light. You see there's light. Well, you say, well, I've watched Horizon commercials, and there's basically, they use lasers for communication, right? I've used lasers very early in my research career. The first thing that anybody who uses any laser of any consequence at all is to know that you cannot look at the laser, I mean, into it. That's, if you look at the laser, into the laser beam, you'll be blinded by the light. Similarly, you can't really look at the sun without any protections. And your eyes actually shut down to protect yourself. But for laser beams, this very pure light, which lets you see things. Well, for those of you who wants to wonder with me, I'll just use this term. When the laser allows us to see things, we see things in the K space, not in the normal space, in the Fourier space. Well, anyway, in other words, it's a mysterious world in the world of light. Now, we need light to see things, right? But so you can say, well, show me its light. That doesn't really make any sense at all. I'll give you an example so you understand why the Pharisees are really not talking sense here. When I was young, about 6 years old, or 6 or 7 years old, I lived in a small town in China. I lived there only 1 year. And I remember one night, there was a lunar eclipse. Some of my mother said, tonight there's a lunar eclipse. Well, just in case you get the wrong idea, my mother is a college-educated person. So she knows what's going on, but she said something to this day. I don't understand why she said it. She said, well, you know, people say that the lunar eclipse occur because there's a heavenly dog, Kenko, the heavenly dog that eats the moon. I was very interested in that. So I was going to stay up the whole night to look at this heavenly dog eats the moon. Then my mother said, no, you shouldn't do that. I said, why not? She said, if you see the heavenly dog eats the moon, you go blind. I said, oh, I'm not going to look at this. And so I obediently fell asleep. And purposefully turned away from the window so I would not carelessly look at that thing and go blind. That's very serious. I mean, of all our diseases, we fear most the blindness. Oh, without an arm, I can live with that. I can't see. It's very hard to live with that. Okay. So I decided I'm not going to look at that thing. But I woke up and then because I'm too excited. You woke up and then you open your eyes and I saw the moon. I said, whoops. I turned away. I said, I saw the moon. I shouldn't look at the moon. Did I go blind? I asked myself this very reasonable question. So I decided to test my eyes. But since the room is so dark, I can't see a thing. So I don't know whether I'm blind or not. The only way I can know whether I'm blind or not is to look at some light. The only light is that moon. So I'm going to take a little peek, right? See whether I still can see things. It's there, but that's the very thing that makes me go blind, right? I shouldn't really look at that. Now look at it again. I don't know whether this time I really go blind. Oh, so the whole night, this restless night. I don't know whether I'm blind or not. You want to test I'm blind or not. I have to see some light, but the light bears its own witness. But here, so, of course, I didn't know about John yet, so I behave exactly like the Pharisees. Jesus, I am the light. That statement is a unique statement. It's so deep, at least for physicists, we can never understand the depths of that announcement. But we know that this word, I am the light of the world, is not spoken, mainly not spoken to the physicists, but to us ordinary people. Physicists are not ordinary in the sense they are weird. Light is there so that it will drive away darkness. Light represents understanding. Light guides. Light also protects. Life gives life. If there's no light, there's no life. So that's also why Jesus said, whoever that follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have eternal life. Light, its presence, signifies safety and well-being. I've always instructed my wife, or not instructed, I've requested my wife to always, in the winter times, leave the lights on in the house, make it bright. So I come home, I see there, in the woods, light, home, warmth, safety, light. I don't want to go to back home to save money, but now there's a different reason for us to save money, but not money, energy. That is a different idea. But light represents that. And I also recall one here in the United States, you don't understand at all what it looks like when there's no light. Right? It's so much light that there's a term called light pollution. You know, for people who want to gaze at stars, there's so much light here. So they have to go to places where there's no very few people live, on high mountains, build a telescope. Why do they build a telescope there? Because elsewhere the sky was polluted by light. So if you go to a place has no sort of people around, the sky looks so beautiful. Have you gone to campings of this kind, to say the West Coast, and into the mountains, when the sun goes down, star comes out, boy, is that bright. It's really bright. Now, except when it's a rainy day, then it's dark. It's really dark. On my college graduation trip, the physics students all went together and crossed a newly built highway called East-West Highway, goes through the high mountains in Taiwan, going from east to west. The mountain goes north and south. So this is, crosses the mountain. As we got to the peak of the mountain, near the peak of the mountain, people decided we're going to walk down, gradually walk down. But at that time, my intended girlfriend, she's not even my girlfriend. I was trying to make her my girlfriend. She refused. But anyway, but she's my wife now. So, by that time, she got sick. And she was coughing and she got sick. So I decided it's not good for her to walk because it takes too much energy. So I proposed that she should take the bus. When the next day's bus come, we should ride with her to our destination instead of taking instead of walking, because she can't walk, I'm going to sacrifice my chance of walking. I'm going to ride with her. But of course, in order to look proper, I invite another friend to go with me. And so three of us can take this next bus. So everyone starts to walk down. They're all gone. We say bye, 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 bye. We have a good time together talking. It rained and rained and rained, and there's a mudslide. The bus never came. Bus couldn't come. So the three of us had to walk all by ourselves down to the next station. So we start to walk in this mountain on the rainy, gray afternoon. As we walk, it gets darker, It's really dark, as I said. There's no light. You can't see anything. So we get scared. So, well, suppose we fall into this ravine. And what do we do? It's also getting cold. So, oh, I'm so worried. So, oh, how stupid can you get? Wants to take this bus. We should have... Anyway, I was apologizing left and right. Then we turned the corner. We saw light. There's a little station that houses the people who repairs the road. Their tents were there. We saw light. Oh, we're so comforted. There was light. Light. Comfort. Safety. We cannot live without light. That's physical light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me, that's the condition, will never walk in darkness. Never walk in darkness. But will have the light of life. We will have something in our life. Light. It really is a very, very wonderful promise. Following Jesus and see that light. Light not only signifies the things I mentioned briefly just a moment ago. Light goes much more beyond just photons and this electromagnetic waves. It represents God's own presence. So in Bible we read about the connections between God and light. God is light, as is stated in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. Throughout the Bible, we have this. But very often, the word that appears is glory. The glory of God. When God's presence leads Israelites at night, there's the pillar of fire represents God's own presence, light. And we read in Isaiah chapter 60, see, darkness covers the earth, and the thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Darkness and the glory of God appeared over you. Obviously, it's a very clear contrast. Light and darkness. God himself, here we read that in his own presence, that light is the word to describe his presence. Christ is our light. How do we see that light? Obviously, the Pharisees didn't see it, didn't get it. How are we going to get it? At least at that time, they have Christ to look at. We don't even have that. What does it mean to follow him so that we may have the light of life? When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's basically claiming that he's God, because only God is light. I'm the light. From the mouth of a poor preacher from a small town somewhere in Galilee. People don't even know where the thing is. A country preacher come out and probably never go to college, probably never go to high school, probably never schooled at all. Son of a carpenter. Out of his mouth. Spoke, I am the light. It's so profound. Unless he is, we can't imagine these words. The philosophers, if you ask Muhammad, Who are you? How would he answer that? He probably would say, as he did on one occasion, I am but a minor prophet of God. He is a humble man. He puts himself in the right place as he sees it. I am a minor prophet of God. If you ask Buddha, who are you? He said, I am a monk. Aren't you a Buddha? No, he didn't say that. It's his disciples turned around and said, oh, look at this great master. He's really the Buddha. If you ask Confucius, who are you? Confucius said, 秋也信, 狗有过, 人必知之. Okay, what he said is the following. I'm a sinner, basically. I sometimes make mistakes, but I'm very lucky, and people tell me when I made mistakes. Good people know who they are. Jesus is the greatest teacher of all. I am the light of the world. There's 8 I am, or 7 I ams. Wonderful pronouncement. In Him, we see the world. In Him, we see ourselves. In Him, we see God. True light. True light. But how do we see that light? In the beginning was the Word. That's how the Gospel of John began. In the beginning, there was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then, later on, identified, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. And we know that this whole prologue is talking about the coming of Christ. Who is Christ? In there, it specifies clearly that He is the Word. The Word. God spoke. God's intention, God's desire, God's heart, if you wish. Word. How do we know somebody by His Word? Christ with the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He's God. But to us, He's the Word. And what's so great about that? We read too many places in the Bible tell us that the purpose of the Word is to illuminate us, is to guide us, such as Psalms 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You know this passage. Light, lamp, to guide us. What guides us? His Word. Jesus Christ, that Word. So, following Christ on the very basic, meaning of following Him is to obey God's Word. The very simple basis for us to know Christ is to know God's Word and His Word. To follow Christ is to walk in obedience of that Word. And following Christ, as we read elsewhere in the Bible, is the condition for a fellowship amongst us. We can have fellowship. We can only have fellowship in light. We follow Christ in light, and there's no darkness in our life. We fellowship with each other. So that light is essential to our being. Yet we live in a world that's under the control of the evil one. 1 John chapter 5. Who is this evil one? Elsewhere in Ephesians chapter 6, talks about this evil one as the ruler of the darkness of this age. The ruler of darkness. God is light. The evil one, devil, is the ruler of darkness. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That's John 1:5. Light comes, but the darkness rejects it. Actually, there's another translation. It says, the darkness cannot overcome it, cannot resist it. That's probably truer. Not too long ago at Princeton, we have discovered something we're very proud of. It's to discover something called a redshift entity that has a redshift factor of 5. Well, explained very simply. when something goes away from us, the light speed doesn't change, but the color change. The faster it went away from us, the redder it becomes. This is called the red shift. So you see a blue star, as it moves away from it, it looks red. It looks very, very red. It means it's going away from us very, very fast. Or put it differently, it's very, very far. Now, we've discovered such a thing, I am not involved in that at all. People discover that there's a light source which is at least 5 billion light years away. Light years are not time. It's space. It's distance. 5 light years meaning the light travel 5 years. Not 5 light years. What did I say? 5 billion light years. In other words, the lights we saw had traveled in space already at that tremendous speed for 5 billion years. It has gone through this dark space of 5 billion light years, and here we saw it's there. No matter how great the darkness is, it can never drown out the light. In fact, darkness is defined as there's no light. When the light appears, darkness is driven away. Cannot resist it. So when Jesus Christ comes to this world as the light, it guarantees the defeat of darkness. But we must be part of that light. We must have light in our lives because we belong to the darkness. How do we know? Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. What does it mean? If we don't follow, people do not follow him, we'll be most likely to be walking in darkness. But we'll have the light of life. This word of God that illuminates in our life, when we say dark areas in our life, mostly talking about sins, moral darkness. I like the story that Christiana Tsai, who have gone to be with the Lord at the age of, 90-something, several years ago. And she wrote about her life, and she said when the reason she turned to God is that when she was a young girl, she was very proud and thinks she's a proper and good person, as most Chinese at that era would think themselves. But she said one day she was playing in the yard and saw a very nice stone, a large stone on the yard, and she was curious and just turned that stone over. When she turned that stone over, she discovered all kinds of crawly things. Oh, that she was very afraid of the bugs and things that were scattered. I said, I didn't know there's so much bugs there. She ran away. And then she realized when the light come, exposes its light, all these ugly things start to appear. And she saw her own darkness, her own sin, and that sort of a experience of turning over a stone, looking at all these bugs. That's what turned her life to Christ. It's pretty much the same way, same thing. We won't see our own darkness in darkness. It's only in his light we'll see light. Without that light, we're just imagining things. We're just groping in the darkness, spiritually speaking. In order to choose what truth is, what is goodness, people sort of know that. We sort of know that. How you define moral? What is moral? If you use the ontological definition of moral, like Kant, he will say, well, morality, what's moral? Moral is to see your own duty. You see your own duty. That's moral. And the Chinese will say, if in other people's need, as we heard a moment ago about New Brunswick work, in other people's work, you see your own duty, that's love. It's a way, has the morality has something to do with duty. And it takes light, or it needs light, for us to see anything at all. Spiritually, we need that light to illuminate us for us to see. If we saw our duty, we see what is moral. If we saw our own life, we see what's corrupt. When we see Christ, we see what God is like and what is eternal life. Let there be light. The very first creation after the world is created. This moment we can only marvel at the mysteries of that physical light. We marvel at the one who creates such wonderful things as light. Then we hear, I am the light of the world. Jesus might have just proclaimed this one evening, some late autumn, 2,000 years ago. But seeing that word, that our light, our eyes were opened. We see what life is. We see who we are, where are we going, what we should be doing. Whoever follows me, Jesus said, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are there dark areas in your life? How do you know whether it's there or not? To follow Christ, we need to see that light, to see our own needs, to interact with each other. We need love. We also need to walk in the light. We need that personal holiness to follow Him and to walk with each other. Personal holiness is not the condition to follow Christ, but it's a result of seeing that light. Let that light shine in our lives. For all of us who have seen that light, let the light change our lives because we've seen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this particular passage in the Bible. I pray that your Spirit will use that verse to speak to our hearts the way that you intend for it to be spoken in our hearts. We commit ourselves to you, knowing that in following you, we'll receive that light. Help us not just have the intention to do what's good, but really to see who you are and follow your commands and your word. Father, I pray that you will bless this congregation as they strive to grow and to be more like you. I pray that you will bless each one of them, that indeed they may be like light in this dark era. To shine forth your truths, your love, and your glory, to bear witness for you. May the love of our God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.